All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We got a big one today. We got the NBA draft tonight. Always great when you got a draft. The Raptors not picking in the first round, but yeah, they'll be on the clock tonight with the 33rd pick, unless something changes. Lots of rumors out there. Maybe something happens. We'll touch on that. Our boy Josh Lewenberg will be kicking around the studio a little bit later on. Some Canadian content, too. There's, you know, expected to be about three or four Canadians drafted tonight, and a couple of them in the first round. So
that'll be cool.
Always a good thing. Yep.
Before we get to this, I've got to address something. I don't know if you want to weigh in. I saw a tweet about an hour ago, which I would just, I mean, Hayes, you and I, we kind of see eye to eye on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. This was, I can't read the emoji. Like, is that the horse's ass of candy bars? Deal with it? Or what?
No, that's
the hell was that?
The goat of candy bars.
The Payday might be one of the laziest chocolate bars out there. It's not even chocolate.
It's not even chocolate.
Peanuts and caramel. That's it, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's a phenomenal bar. It's such, it's my favorite. And maybe what makes it my favorite is that it's not available up here, which to me is sickening.
Second,
like, this should be the House of Commons. Like, what are we sending people to Ottawa for if they can't figure this out? Like, figure it out. Get these up here. They should be stocked in every shelf, every convenience store, coast to coast. The king size Payday, I'm sorry, man. You can't top it. You cannot top it. It is the goat of candy bars, and I don't care what anyone has to say.
How did you come across it? Like, a buddy came back from the U.S. and dropped it off? Or, like, do you import it? Like, anybody who goes to the U.S. would be like, hey, grab me a box of Paydays.
Right.
Like,
you guys have heard about my little run-ins at Bulk Barn, different types of snacking.
Yes.
I've never heard of that trash that he just posted right there.
You've never heard of it, so you have no opinion.
People are writing in, and by the way, the gif of the guy with the jibs falling out, it's unacceptable. And if I ever see that again, I'll slash the tires.
My favorite gif, may I point
it's
out.
Not.
It is spectacular.
See if Joe from the Bridge can put it up.
No,
I think I've seen it. It's just, honestly, people, they got a lot of time on their hands right now. School's getting out and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of time. There's
a lot of time. The creation of gifts and, ugh.
See, Noodles, you've at least had a Payday.
I have.
There it is.
Yeah, that's so funny.
That's a response.
Really funny.
If you want to come at the king, you best not miss.
Because
I'll come back.
Anyway, before we get to what happened last night, Noodles, we are on the same page as far as this.
Yeah.
You could say the name because we're both on the same page. The goat of bars is
the Big Turk.
I'm a Turk.
Big Turk. I love the Big Turk.
The Big Turk is a beer league candy bar.
No, it's not.
It's not even in the coast.
It is. It might be up for the heart. Like,
no,
it would be one
not.
Of the three nominees.
It's awful.
Payday.
Awful.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I look at, we could build a lineup, and Payday wouldn't make my starting roster.
Payday's in the
Central
League, and it's trying to make the club.
That's
Payday's on a PTO for me. It's on a professional
categorically
tryout.
Categorically untrue.
I like it because I do like peanuts and I like caramel, so I'm on board with it. It's just I feel like there's so many other better bars out there. You know what I have right now, in my I got it for Father's Day the other day. Steph got it. I'll get it brought in here. A Charlestown Chew. Have you guys ever heard of those?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Nah, could take it or leave it.
They're
take
good,
it or
though.
Leave it. They're
See,
okay.
I
you
like.
Know, there's a lot of candy bars. Like there's a lot of options, and it's weird how down in the States you go down there, they got some different options you never heard of, and up here we have options that I'm sure applies as well. They've never heard of before.
The one that I think we can all agree on, which is the absolute East Coast League, you name it, whatever league the beer league is, Eatmore. That
yes,
one is the
awful.
Most disgusting.
Awful.
Like, it's not even a chocolate bar. It's just kind of like some sort of, like, weird.
It's tape. That's what it tastes like, tape.
There's peanuts in it, but I don't know what the black stuff that's surrounding the peanut that holds it together. It's like tar.
Right.
I don't know what it is. Eatmore is, that's a bad chocolate bar. Outside of that, I think you can, you know, you go right down the line with Coffee Crisp and caramel.
There's a ton of great options.
You know, they're great ones.
Listen, you've had it. Oh, you've never even had a Payday. So your opinion on this is completely erroneous.
Dude, I got to go to the grocery store after. I'll get one.
They're not up here, dude. You can only get them in the States. That's the whole point.
That's what makes it even greater. It's like
anyway,
a holy grail.
Let's move on from this. But Payday, the reason it's not in Canada is because it's garbage. Because Canada, potato chips and candy bars, we lead. We lead the world.
We do. Well.
Potato chips is not even close. Like, the chip selection in the States is awful. It's brutal. Up here, we dominate chips. We love chips. And anyway, Christine actually tweeting and saying you can order them online and have them up here the next day. So I'm going to order some, and we'll have a little rendezvous the next time we get together, okay? All right, moving on. It is draft night tonight. We're going to have a draft ourselves a little bit later this hour. We've put a lot of thought into this, a lot of detail, a lot of time. So we'll tell you about it a little bit later on. But Nazem Kadri goes legend. Oh, you called it, man.
He
went legend last night.
Yeah, he did.
Credit to him.
But what happened half an hour after the game, like, I watched this play, and everybody's got a different view on it. And the way I summarize this is the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's almost like they were stunned they lost that hockey game. Because they've been like Superman for the last 3 years, where something happens, and it comes down to the crunch. They miraculously, they're like Superman going down Niagara Falls, and they grab the kid, and they bring it back up and they catch him. Last night they dropped the kid and he landed on his head and it was just game over. And they were stunned. They were shocked. And I think John Cooper was stunned and shocked after the game. So they go over the tape and they're like, oh, look at that. It could be offside. Could have been called offside. That play happens 10 times a night. 10 times a night. And don't show me the other guy because he's putting his foot in the bench. It's just like,
well,
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
I think it was too many men, but I think it does happen 10 times a night, and it shouldn't be a scenario. I think Kadri jumped a bit early for the guy he was changing for. It happened.
But you know
it's
what?
It
was 2 years ago. They had the illegal substitution. My buddy told me about it. They had illegal substitution where the guy could just blow it down. It goes to center ice. Guess what happened? They got rid of it. So last night it was on somebody, one of the four guys on the ice, to call too many men. And guess what would have happened? They could have called that, and Tampa could have got a power play and scored a goal. And then what do you think would have happened today? What would we be talking about?
Well,
we'd be saying that wasn't too many men. How in the hell do you call that too many men on the ice?
I don't know.
It's a hockey play. It's just like with Timmy Peel last year. He got caught with a hot mic describing something that just happens and it's part of hockey. The ref's got to do a makeup call. That's part of hockey, whether you like it or not. And he got caught with a hot mic telling everybody something that just happens and it's a part of the game. That was the same thing last night. Happens all the time, 10 times a game.
Here's what I would say about it. I think it was too many men, but it happens a lot, so it's a subjective call. I thought the refs had I didn't think they had a great night. I thought there were some missed calls where I know you want to manage the game, but to me there were some real clear-cut calls that game might have not made it to overtime had penalties been called on both sides. Because for me, in the third period, there was a clear one on Hedman, and then I think there was a clear one on – it might have been on Kadri in front of the net. But those are ones where I get it. They're just – they want the players to sort it out. But – those were calls, and you can make those calls. And then in overtime, you know, I thought it was not a legal change. I just thought Kadri jumped early. There was too many men. You don't call it because it happens a ton of times. At the end of the day, Colorado was better in overtime. Tampa was better in regular time. Tampa should have won that in regular if you were going to win it. And Colorado deserved to win because they were the better team in overtime. Vasilevsky had made three huge saves even before that Kadri goal. So, you know, Colorado's up 3-1. Can't cry about it.
Well, Cooper was crying about it after the game.
Well, his job. Like, that hits his team.
I think it was an awful message to send. He basically conceded the cup postgame. You know, I'm heartbroken for my – you've won two cups. You're still in the cup finals, 3-1. Like, are you not flying to Denver? Like, I thought that commentary last night was – borderline embarrassing, quite frankly, for a guy of his stature who I love and appreciate the way he speaks, his honesty. He's been on this show many times.
Dude, he's a buddy of mine. I feel the same way.
I couldn't believe he said that.
It was like Superman went into Niagara Falls and they just missed the kid, and they were like, what the hell? I always get the kid.
Right.
They were stunned. They were stunned and they were shocked.
Stunned.
And I think what happened this morning, they circled back and they're like, water under the bridge, because at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do about it. They thought 100% they're winning that game at home in overtime, and they didn't do it. And they were stunned, and they could not believe that happened.
Right.
That's what happened, people.
That's what happened. They had a 1-0 lead. They had a 2-1 lead. and they couldn't hold on to either. And there's a bunch of different things to break down. The play itself, he basically dances through three defenders. So instead of relying on a ref to stop it, how about stop him yourself? Like, you know, weak defending. McDonough just waves at him. Sergachevy dances right around him. Stop him. You know, like, how about that? Try to defend him as opposed to letting him dance you. The guy's got a broken thumb, and he's out there dangling. And Vasilevsky had made some great stops. That one he probably should have had, and it got through him. But I think in terms of my reaction to the non-call, for me it was by the rule book an illegal change, which I guess means too many men on the ice. Like, McKinnon was like 30 feet away. He wasn't that close to the bench. But when you've got a fluid sport, changes on the fly, it's what makes hockey very unique.
And
doesn't
get
happen
rid of
in
that
football,
rule.
Baseball,
getting
basketball.
Rid of that rule is key. Illegal substitution. They
got
rid of it.
We were talking earlier, Ro. I've never believed in a situation like that. This idea that four refs can make that call. Linesmen are never making that call. Ever. They're not putting themselves in a position in overtime of a cup final to do anything but call an icing, an offside, and drop the puck.
Well, I don't know
They're
if
not
my buddy was
that.
Telling me the
I don't
truth,
believe
and I
it.
Know for a fact he's going in the OHL Hall of Fame and the AHL Hall of Fame for refereeing. He said he would call too many men last night. Whether I believe him or he's just fired up, I don't know.
Thing is too, it's easy for us, and this is why we always should take a step back. Did any of the force actually spot it live?
No.
No.
Exactly.
So that's the thing.
Exactly.
So if you don't spot it live, and maybe you're at a vantage point where you do see Kadri jump and McKinnon gliding in, it's a legal change that just was a little bit premature, if that makes sense. Like, Kadri got a little bit excited, jumped on, and McKinnon was, you know, gliding in. Like, not everyone goes by
and
50
miles. It's exacerbated by the fact that Kadri was the one that gets the puck and scores.
Well, yeah, that's
right?
The other
like,
thing.
That's if, what if, makes it so
take
extreme.
Take this down. It's stupid. Like, you're like, we're like every other nerd on Twitter. Look at that. It's crazy.
Here's the thing.
Counting all the players?
The counting of the players.
Oh, yeah. Look at all the nerds are like, I'm looking and I'm circling. No, there's just too many men.
No,
I just can't take it. I cannot take it.
But you should be circling the guy that Kadri's changing for, because that's who – there could be a guy standing at the boards waiting to get in as the guy shift over. He's not part of the play. That's part of, like, a legal change. So the counting of
Noodles,
the guy leaning against the boards, that you shouldn't count him.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing with this. If you're going to bitch and complain about this, let's just follow along and put two nerds in the stands to watch everyone at Tampa's change next game, and then just say after, okay, Coop and the Lightning and all you other losers out there that are so pissed off about this, what about these changes? Because you're going to find 10 of them. So is that what we're going to do now? We're going to hire losers to sit in the stands and calculate how far and how bad of a change it was? Because you're going to see it 10 times.
You're going to see it a ton. But again, let's be honest with this. Why it's such a topic of discussion is because it's the OT winner in a cup final.
Right, the guy who jumped scored. That's why
exactly.
It is.
If this happens in the first period of a game in November, no one's paying attention to it. It's the guy who jumps over. It's a lazy change by McKinnon, but a lot of guys have a lazy change in the National Hockey League. You know,
10 times a game.
It happens all the time. All the time. And I'm a believer. In fact, there's video going out that's out there right now. When Tampa knocked out the Islanders in Game 7, Barry Trotz was freaking that they had too many men on the ice.
Yeah, they did.
So it comes and goes, right? That's the nature of the beast. Tampa got burned last night. I credit Kadri. I don't think there should be a cloud over the legendary status of Kadri. And that's what bothers me today. There's a couple things that are going to bother me into the future about this. One, that Kadri is not going to get his due diligence on this, and justice will not prevail in terms of the legacy that he should have preserved last night. This guy broke his thumb, had surgery, comes back and scores an OT winner. That is unbelievable. That should not be overshadowed. This is another reason why I hate the review process. I hate the idea of slowing everything down to the millisecond, like it's a Zapruder film, trying to dissect what happened. Because the greatness of the play and the greatness of the story should be prevailing. This guy came back from surgery and scores an OT winner.
It's not even the I said yesterday, there's an opportunity for this to be the Kadri game.
Exactly.
Guess what it is now? It's the blown offside or nerds that think it's too many men.
Well, and this is my fear. All right. This is the first thing that popped into my mind last night, and I'm predicting it's going to happen, and if it does, my head is going to explode. The first name that popped into my head was Matt Duchene. I said, this is the Matt Duchene scene now. Duchene's 5 feet offside, so now we got to review offsides. We're going to hear this the rest of the summer. Wow, the GMs really want to talk about it. Everyone's going to get together. They think this should be reviewed. Every goal should be reviewed.
What's going to happen now is that substitution rule I just mentioned, it's going to come back into play. They're like, oh, we can never have that again. But I don't know why they took it out. I don't know if it's because it was slowing plays down or it was taken away from some offensive plays, but they got rid of it. And now I guarantee you they're going to be like,
this better not snowball
into a
review everything situation, but I don't trust the NHL that it won't.
Most leagues are reactionary, and that's what it is. The Matt Duchene egregious offside, there was a reaction to it. Now you had to have a conversation. Cross-check gate last year. Don't cross-check. There's always something that is topical. This one now is going to be topical. I think right from the drop of the puck in the playoffs, I feel bad. The refs have been on blast, like flat out. Like there hasn't been one game that we haven't, has there? Maybe that might be a little bit rich. There hasn't been at least one week in the playoffs that we haven't talked about a missed call, an egregious play, like something where it's like, the refs could have done this. I think the refs have been on blast here. And, you know, for the most part, I think they do a pretty damn good job. Yeah, are there missed calls? Sure, there are.
There's always going to be missed calls.
That's your human element, Hayes. There it is. But you know what? In this scenario, Kadri scored. Yes, it was an illegal line change. It happens 10 times a game. The fact that him jumping off the bench and then getting the seam pass, that's why we're talking about it, because he's the guy who scored the goal.
Of course.
Jimmy, I don't even know how he can say it's an illegal line change. They happen 10 times a game.
Illegal is the wrong word. I think it was premature. I think he was about a second or two, which in really high-speed hockey and plays like that, there was a gap.
Go through the line changes. Hire somebody to go through the line changes.
But you can't.
You're not going to do that. And that's what I'm driving home here is that I have this fear because I know the nature of the NHL and the GMs and the organism that is hockey media that is going to push this. You know, should this be reviewed? Should every goal be reviewed? That's what you want? That's really what you want. Someone's going to score an OT winner in a cup final just like this, and what, everyone's going to stop and wait till it's reviewed properly?
Right.
It's absurd.
And here's
it's
the
ridiculous,
other thing.
It's ridiculous, but I'm fearful that's going to happen because this is such a big story.
But for the people saying, like, Tampa had 7 players on the ice, there were 2 against the boards. You don't just go up to the boards and magically melt over the boards.
Of course you can
stand there, the door opens, and you go in. So that, like, to go back, this is why I hate the images and counting. What you need to do is go back and see the exchange between Kadri and McKinnon. That one was,
it was a little bit extreme.
It was extreme.
That's
the difference.
McKinnon's
everybody else.
In between the circles. He's not that close to the bench.
You guys can speak to it more than I can. When you change, Hayes, when you would take off a defenseman, you go, I got this guy. You knew I've got that guy.
Of course, you
would be like, I've got whoever the guy in front of me is. You know, if it's Sammy Kapanen, you'd be like, I got Kapanen. And when Kapanen would come, you would jump at a reasonable distance. That's what it was. So everyone pointing out all the other, you got to go at the exchange. And the exchange was whoever Kadri was taking, that exchange was slow. That's what it was.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Yet, when he got on the ice and got the puck, he still made an incredible move and scored a great goal.
Great play.
And I hope that's not going to be overshadowed, and I think maybe when the dust settles it won't be, but as of now it is. And listen, Colorado's going home. They got their split. Regardless of how it played out, they're up 3-1. And Tampa better dust themselves off quickly. And I think they're in trouble. If Chernak's done, you know, Nick Paul is what he is. I'm not sure we see him again. You got Cirelli now with his issue. That might have been a part of where Cooper was coming from. Like, he knows his team is very wounded. They're the walking wounded right now. And there's the team on the other side who's getting someone back in Kadri who's doing damage. Kadri played the role of Braden Point the last 2 years, right? That goal Kadri scored last night, how many times have we seen that out of Braden Point? Well, Point's not available right now. So – We'll get to Dave Poulin a little bit later this afternoon. We'll ask Pooley his take on that. Start turning the page and looking towards Game 5. Does Tampa have a shot? Like, can they push this to 6? I think that's clearly reasonable. But can they win 3 in a row against a team like Colorado? Not sure that's going to happen. We'll get to that more. Still to come, we've got the NBA draft again tonight. And we're just over a week away from July 1. July 1 next week. Like, we're into summer here. There's going to be a lot going on between now and Labor Day. We're going to have a draft ourselves in terms of what we'll be tracking throughout the summer months leading up to Labor Day, featuring all sports. So we'll get to that more still to come. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Absolutely got skewered by my buddy. Said they took the rule out. They didn't. They just don't call it, which is an absolute kick right where it counts.
So you're talking about the...
this illegal substitution. It's like it's technically still there. They just stopped calling it. They just stopped doing it, which was explained to me, and the skewering happened when he said they got rid of it. No, they didn't get rid of it. The refs themselves got rid of it.
Yeah, they're coming up with their own rule book, basically on the fly. And
said it's basically more in play now for the goalie coming. I don't know. I'm done with it.
Honestly,
they're down 3-1, and they're losing the next game. They're going
to honestly, though. Like, it is, to call it is kind of a greasy call, too, unless it's completely egregious.
Noodles, like, if they called call, it, we'd be having Bednar up there saying, what the hell's going on here? And like I said, Tampa got the power play and scored a goal. He'd be like, how did they call that penalty in the Stanley Cup Finals and we go down a man? And then he would pull up 10 examples of Tampa cheating on line changes, and he'd say that's the same thing. It's just nonsense.
Well, listen, there's always people that go in revisionist history. Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? I thought Tampa had an opportunity to win it in regulation. They played really well. Mm-hmm. I thought Darcy Kuemper played really well on a rebound game. You know, we'll call it a lucky goal. What was it, the Helmer Cogliano goal? Like, that hits a body and goes in. Like,
even the McKinnon goal went off.
Yeah, hits a skate. Like,
in, basically,
at the end of the day, Tampa played really well. Unfortunately, they lost. Colorado found a way to win, because they were the better team in overtime. And now they're up 3-1. They got opportunity tomorrow night on home ice, which that building will be absolutely rocking. We'll see if they can close it out. That's it.
Yeah, we'll see. And once they do, if they do, we'll be officially into the offseason for the NHL. There's a lot to look forward to this summer, but obviously the NHL not the only league that will supply content. You got the NBA draft tonight, then free agency right around the corner with the NBA on July 1 opening up, and there could be some big names available on that front. Baseball's midseason continues to roll. The NFL camps will be open up in like a month. So we figured we'd do a little draft ourselves in the nature of the NBA draft tonight. And the storylines and the stories, we are going to be tracking the closest. Now, in reality, we're probably going to be tracking all of these, but you can only pick one, and once it's been picked, it's off the board.
Right.
So we flip coins. Oh, you got the first pick. Noodles, you got the second. Then I got the third, and we'll snake through. So we got a bunch of rounds here. Bunch of potential options. Oh, why don't you start us off in terms of what you have your eye on between, let's say, today and Labor Day?
With the first selection in the what I'm going to be tracking in the summer draft, I select the LIV Tour and their pursuit of cats like Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, because those are the two guys with a couple of others who aren't quite as loud, but there are some, maybe throw in a John Rahm, something like that, who have said, and back the PGA Tour, but everyone has a number. And I think the LIV Tour has got these guys circled saying, we got to keep pushing with their agents and keep jacking the number up. Because from all accounts, everybody that knows anything about golf or anything about what goes on over there, it's infinity money. There's just, it never ends, and it's never going anywhere, and it's never going to end or dry up. So I'm fascinated to see if those guys, like a Rahm or a JT or a Rory McIlroy, are ever going to flip the switch on the PGA Tour and say, you know what, they got to my number, and I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think that is going to be a big, big story. Because, like, Colin Morikawa, there was a lot of smoke around Morikawa. And he came out and he doused it, and he said, not going to happen. Okay, Brooks said the same thing. Bryson said the same thing.
DJ said the same thing.
Everyone said the same thing, so I don't know what to believe anymore. This story is not dying down anytime soon. All right, good pick. First overall, PGA versus LIV. Noodles, you're on the clock now with the second pick.
And I'm sticking – all of my picks are, I believe, in the hockey world, so I'm going to go the number one. My number one is Leafs goaltending. Are you going to re-sign Jack Campbell? Are you going to move past Jack Campbell and find somebody else as a free agent or trade for somebody? Oh, and you've got Peter Mrazek this year and next year still under contract. What's going on with that? You know, to me, they've got some big decisions.
Like their whole operation.
The whole operation. But the goaltending, because it doesn't matter how good your team is, if you don't have goaltending, it's not going to work. So you've got to find it, sort it out. You've got to find a new goalie coach to go along with that and make the right decisions, because I think it's quite simple. Everyone's on the clock there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would think, you know, well, again, it's been 6 years of just, hey, whatever, and moving on. Based on the way they reacted, you'd think that they have lifetime contracts down there. But I will say what I found somewhat interesting, and I have fallen victim to this as well, is this idea that Mrazek, they'll just flip him and he'll disappear and that'll be
well, who's
fine.
Taking Peter Mrazek at 3.8 for this year and next year?
I don't know. I don't know. And like, I don't think they'll be that stubborn. But what if there's belief there? Like, Dubas, it's been less than a year. He gave him 3 years at 3.8 a year ago. Now, Dubas, I think, has done a very good job of realizing his mistakes and rectifying them. And I think he'll look at Mrazek as a mistake. But what if he looks at him as it was just a write-off injury season? What do you want to? What can you do? Won't happen again. And when he's healthy, we still believe in him at 3.8. Like, is that a possibility? Is it 0% chance Mrazek is back next year?
No.
I don't think it can be 0%.
There might not be a market for him. And
but what if they still believe?
How could there be? Could there be any market for that guy?
Well, he hasn't played much hockey in the last two calendar years. He was injured in Carolina, too.
Exactly. Yeah. How so can there be a market? There isn't one.
Is why I know both of your heads were going to explode when Matt Murray's name came up. But that's where you're looking. Like, if you're going to move a guy like Mrazek out, maybe it's for Matt Murray and chewing on some money and a deal there, where you're familiar with Matt Murray and Mrazek goes the other way. I don't know. Again, I'm just speculating, being ridiculous. That's how creative you're going to have to be if you decide to move out Mrazek. The new goalie coach might go, you know what? I can make him a goalie. Leave it with me. I'm good.
Is he a surgeon, too, and a physician?
I don't know.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up Matt Murray, Noodles, because that's why I love that. It triggered something. That's why I love that Kadri play last night, because he said to himself, I'm playing, and I don't care, and I'll shave down my cast, and I'll get a special glove, and I'll chirp TSN's Twitter account saying, you'll see about that. In his mind, he said, I'm going to do anything that play. Not like these other guys that we've seen the last two or three years. Something happens, you skate off, boop, check please, I can't play. I can't do it, I can't play. I can't play for 2 weeks, I can't play for a month. I can't play and help my team in the playoffs. This guy said, under any circumstance, I'm playing hockey and I'm going to try to score a goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he did it. So good on you, Naz. Way to show every one of these other losers that they're just wimps. Well, I can't take it. Hayes, what's your pick in the first round?
Up today. Somebody needs a payday.
Someone needs a payday.
You need
payday. Someone needs a payday. I'm going to hook you up. Paydays are coming.
Oh, you guys know the deal. I run out of gas at 5:07. Go ahead, Hayes.
Okay, we got 34 minutes of heat. Yeah. Well, this is an interesting transition. I'm going with Tiger at St. Andrews.
Ooh. All right.
Tiger Woods, who grinds.
In a cart?
I don't know. Do they have carts at St. Andrews? I don't think ever
Colin
been on
Montgomery
that
said they shouldn't have buggies over here, period.
Right.
Because in Europe, we don't have buggies. And then he grin screwed the interviewer. Go ahead.
I don't think there's ever been a cart on St. Andrews.
Grin screwed.
But he's coming back. It's his favorite course. He's won there twice. There's like a 1% Jerry's percentage chance that this is the end of the road. 1% that he shows up and he does the wave at, you know, over the bridge. And it's Tiger. He missed the U.S. Open. St. Andrews, like, it's everything about it is going to be hopefully magical. I hope he makes a cut. I think he will at that course. You give him an extra 2 months because he didn't play the Open to get ready for it. Maybe he's rehabbed more. Maybe his game has improved. So I'll go with Tiger. at St. Andrews into round two of the stories we're tracking going into the summer. Again, you can only pick each story once. Only one of us can take these stories. We're all tracking all of these. This is one I thought Noodles might scoop up with the first pick or his first pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Carey Price story in Montreal.
Sure.
Because this is a story that feels like it's been building for years. And I don't know if he's going to play. And that's an element to it. Right? Like, I assume we'll find out at some point this summer if he's retiring, if he's taking time off, where he's at physically, mentally, if he's prepared to play, if he wants to be in Montreal. If he doesn't, what is the market? Like, you could write 6, 7, 8 chapters on this story, and all of them could be original, right? In terms of what he represents to that team, what he represents to the league, how great he is, the importance of the position. And yet, there's a massive uncertainty in terms of what he is now as a player. So, Carey Price in Montreal is high on my list of things I'll be tracking.
Well, and it's also, you tie in, you know, where Montreal wants to head. You know, that's the thing. Like, if they're going to have a retool, it sounds like Petrie's available. You know, if Price is available, like, they're going to try and clear out some of the veteran guys or the older guys and bigger contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If Price can play, I think there is a marketplace for him, depending on how much you're willing to eat. So it is a fascinating storyline, but I didn't want to be the goaltender hugger completely.
It's all good.
So I didn't go there.
Noodles, you got the second pick in the second round.
Well, just for me, Calgary Flames. So Johnny Gaudreau status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is he? Is he going to sign with the Flames? Is he going to test free agency? And then, the minute that comes down, you're looking at Matthew Tkachuk because he's an RFA. So is he going to sign a massive extension? What are you going to do? So I don't want to say they're completely tied together, but it's you've got a scenario there in Calgary that things could change very quickly.
Big time. When you consider how well those two played, how good that line was, and Gaudreau could just walk and Tkachuk could take a one-year deal and walk next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be dicey out in Calgary for sure.
Sure.
Who do you have, or what are you taking with your second pick of the what we're tracking draft into the summer?
I'm taking the guy that scored the big goal last night, the overtime winner, Nazem Kadri, in his contract situation. I think everybody will sniff around to see what's the deal is here. It seems to me he looks like a guy that could be a second-line center on a team that could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty handy little ordeal there. Just what does he want to do? Does he want to go for the big bucks? I don't know what his situation is. He's made pretty good cash throughout his career. He's been on a 4-year deal for quite some time, six years. Okay, so he's got a bit of cash in the bank. Does he want to hit a home run, or does he want to try to go to a quality team that's going to be contending for the last 4 or 5 years of his career? It's just going to be a fascinating scenario. He's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. Had a hell of a night last night. There was some recency bias in my thought process just because he scored last night and he's kind of on your brain. But where he goes and what kind of money he's going to get and the demand for that guy. We saw, after we left the library in New York City, we saw Vinny LeCavalier setting up shop at a hotel. I can't imagine what the setup will be for this cat.
I worry that, like, what is that number going to be? Like I think
it's going to be higher than you think.
But that's a mistake.
I think it's going to be higher than you think.
I think he's had an amazing season.
Unbelievable.
But, like, he might be more of a 50 to 60 point guy. That's the thing. So what does that get you in free agency?
On the back end of his career, he might be, Jamie. But on the open market, I think someone's going to give between $7 and $8.5 million.
And recency bias, the guy's scored a Stanley Cup winning goal or in the Stanley Cup finals. But like that,
it's not just that though. He's had a couple of really good years in Colorado.
Well, and he represents something that you can't always find. You got a guy who can't wait to compete. Like he'll fight you in the street. Like that.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's worth something. I'll take that over. Well, this stat when he's on the road. Like, okay.
I'll take
the intangible and I'll pay for it every day of the week.
I'm just saying. He's 30. He'll play as a 32-year-old next year.
I understand that.
I just think if he gets $8 million a year on a 5-year deal, there could be 3 years that don't look really good there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not denying that.
Let's go through the league and find a bunch of guys with 3 years left that aren't. There's a bunch of them.
It happens all the time. GMs never learn.
I agree.
GMs never learn.
Listen,
you know
I
what
want
the
guy
thought
to
process
cash in.
Is? I'm not going to be around for those anyway, so I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
We're almost there. 2 or 3 years out of him, and then the rest will be history.
Yeah.
All right, into the third round here. The stories we're tracking throughout the summer. Back to the top of the board. Oh, you have the first pick of the third round.
I'm going to go with the Browns quarterback situation. I cannot see how this Deshaun Watson scenario doesn't end badly for him this year. There's got to be a suspension, and you would have to guess a lengthy one from I don't know. It's so bizarre, and you don't really know what's real, but I think you've heard enough where it's like the league's going to step in and say, you've lost your privilege to play football this year, and it's not for week one. It's for 10 weeks. It's for 11. So the question is, you floated all that money to him, and you sold your soul, but what the hell is going to happen at quarterback? What, are you going to make friends with Baker Mayfield, and all of a sudden that's going to work out? I don't see that. So ultimately, where does that turn out? I know the Cleveland Browns in our market is not the sexiest scenario, but watching that quarterback situation, because everything was all grand. They were like, okay, we got our guy. We're going to put that other stuff in the past and forget it ever happened, and we're going to be rocking and rolling here come September, and it's just not the case.
I'm with you on that. I saw today, I think they're paying Watson and Baker something like $65 million. For this season, and I think there's a very good chance neither guy plays a snap for the Browns. So, you know, who's your third stringer?
If Watson's suspended, is that without pay?
Well, yes, but remember he structured
the
deal.
He got all the money up front.
It's all signing bonus, so it's based on your contract game to game, and he gets paid like $1 million base salary. So, yeah, he's going to lose like $1 million, and that's what was greasy. The Browns knew it was coming, and they still wilted. And they gave it to him. That's why he agreed to go there. Remember, they were off the board. He's like, I'm not going to Cleveland. Are you nuts? And then all of a sudden they said, this is what we'll give you. Love Cleveland. Love the Midwest. Yeah. I'm coming up.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's worthy of tracking for sure, the Browns quarterback situation. Noodles, second pick of the third round. What are you tracking this summer?
Chris Letang, Geno Malkin, they're either potential landing spots or what Pittsburgh's going to do in general there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spicy meatball. It could be a turnover because both those guys are just free agents. And by all accounts, it didn't sound like their initial talks went so well with Hextall and potential extensions. So,
two legends down there,
man. And here's the other thing. 87 might get involved and go, what's going on here, too? So there's a lot of moving parts there in Pittsburgh, and be tracking that because if you don't get Malkin – and or Letang, you're going to have to replace those players. So they'll be big game hunting as well.
That's 15 years you've just had that locked in.
Yep.
You know, Malkin as your number two center, what a luxury. And Letang is your stud defenseman.
Yeah.
And same thing with Sid. The three of them have played together their whole careers. And there's a chance, you know, two-thirds of the band is going to leave. I'm with you on that. I'll take the Jays at the deadline. I mean, this isn't going to go through the whole summer because of the nature of the baseball deadline now. I probably would have taken it a little bit higher if we still had those old goofy rules where you could go on waivers and trade for guys into August. But you look at what's going on with the rotation, with Ryu done for the year. Kikuchi is it's uncertain what this guy's going to bring to the table. Ross Stripling continues to perform, but I'm not sure how much faith they have in that for another, like, 15-plus starts. And, you know, I think they're going to address that. I think the bullpen is going to have to be addressed. And the left-handed bat, they're going to continue to look towards that. The Yankees are what they are. They will continue to be what they're going to be. But I think the Jays realize if you get to the dance, then you can do damage. Mm-hmm. But you got to get there first, right? Like, you're in a hunt now with Boston, with Tampa, with a few different teams in the Central. I feel good about their chances. I've been saying that, you know, all season. But it is not a lock. So the moves between now and the deadline may not be as much about putting a team together for October. It may be about getting to October, which may make it even dicier, right? And more important that you go all in to make sure you get to the dance. So I fully expect the Jays to be very, very active between now and the end of July. All right, we'll come back with a couple of more quick rounds, a couple of honorable mentions, too. There's going to be a million storylines, clearly, throughout the summer.
Yeah.
So we'll continue with this. Dave pulling in about 20 minutes on what happened last night in Game 4 of the Cup Final. Turning it over to Game 5 tomorrow night. We'll start teeing that up. The NBA Draft tonight, Josh Lewenberg will join us. What could Masai and company end up doing? Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we're continuing with the draft here, and I think it's working out pretty well. The summer stories draft that we're going to be tracking, and we've been through a bunch of them already. We're into the fourth round, and we're thinking we'd do this because we got the NBA draft tonight. Only two rounds, pretty lazy, only two rounds. We do, you know, five rounds on this show, and we're into the fourth round. And speaking of the NBA, I'm on the clock with the first pick of the fourth round. I'm going with this Kyrie Irving Brooklyn Nets story because this is breaking like as we're speaking. Yeah. All right, so Shams Charania just tweeted this out about 40 minutes ago. Sources, Kevin Durant is monitoring the Brooklyn Nets situation and considering his options with his future.
Oh, my. I told you.
Here we go. This now opens the path for Kyrie to proceed in finding a new home via opt-in and trade. And now more reports are coming out courtesy of Woj and ESPN because these two are just going to go back and forth with haymakers on breaking stories. If he's traded, Kyrie would like the Nets to consider working with, this is Rich, like, because they should be doing him a favor, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavericks, and the Sixers. So that's where Kyrie apparently wants to go. But this story, if he opts out and leaves, then it opens the door for Kevin Durant demanding a trade. It's going to be bedlam. It could be bedlam. Like, there's a chance.
I'm not going to lie. I want Kevin Durant somehow to go back to G-State and say, let's run it back and get a couple more and call it a day.
Well,
I want to see it.
If he does
that, take him back?
I don't know if they feel they need him. Honestly, they may.
Dude, who the hell doesn't need Kevin Durant for everything? Who doesn't want that? Sorry.
Can't argue with that.
Greatest scorer to ever play.
All right, so I'm going Kyrie. And then, again, I think things are going to be happening hourly on that front. Noodles, you have the second pick of the fourth round here.
I just think one of the organizations to watch kind of under the radar has been the Winnipeg Jets. You know, and that's now at the end of the season, you've had the coaching change. Who's going to be the coach there then? Now you heard the rumblings, well, what are you doing with Shifley? You know, Dubois a year and a half away from free agency or whatever. There's lots of, you know, or 2 years, I think, away.
Did I see a report last night that Dubois has already told the team he's going to free agency in 2 years?
Oh, my God. That is the dumbest thing I've ever – if that is true, and I believe it to be true because some credible people tweeted it out, what a moron. You couldn't have just done – like, you couldn't have played there for 2 years and done the John Tavares and said, I don't know, it's a business – now the people of Winnipeg hate his guts, and it's just like, what are you doing?
Why would
just say you
that?
Want to get traded right now.
Yeah,
what a dumb move. That is such a bogey either. By that guy.
I think that's stupid.
I
think it might be posturing for that Winnipeg goes, here's a blank check, let's make sure you're taking, like, you can extend him, right? He's RFA. Like, so I don't know. It might be just contract posturing. I'd like to know a little bit more. I don't want to.
Possibly, yeah.
But, moronic decision. The fans hate his guts immediately, I bet.
Unless he signs a massive year extension and becomes their number one centerman and they figure out to move Shifley out. Like, I think that's what's going to be fascinating to track.
Right.
That team's really good on paper. They got to get it together and play well so that they make the playoffs and go on a run. They were in the second round a year ago.
You know what, though? Now that I think about it, I lost my cool there for a second. Teams do garbage things to players, so you know what? Go ahead and do it. You're going to have a tough time, though, because they're going to hate your guts.
But that's the difference, right? Listen, the negotiating is one thing, but from a PR standpoint, once it gets out, especially a place like Winnipeg, they're incredibly insecure with that stuff. Every Canadian market is, let's be honest.
Yeah,
every Canadian market is insecure about
players
wanting
to leave.
Yeah,
couldn't you do that behind the scenes and just say, look, I'm going to be going to free agency.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Seth Jones, did that get out? It might have. And he just said, "I'm like, trade me because I'm not signing here." But this was just like, "Oh, you're Gretzky? You left Columbus. You had to get out of there. Now you're in Winnipeg, and now all of a sudden you got a test. Like, who the hell do you think you are?"
Yeah, 2 years out from UFA status.
I think it's posturing. I think
we got to do rapid fire down the stretch.
That would make sense. All right. Oh, you get the last pick of the fourth round.
This might be off the board for some people, this topic, but for me, it should have been my number one thing. It's Hazy B on the golf course. Can he get it back and get dialed in? Because he went from 1 under through 9 to can't break 90, and it's a serious problem.
We're concerned.
And your best buddy, Darcy Tucker, said you're in your own head and it's a serious problem.
You,
my friend, are a modern-day broadcasting version of David Duvall. You were the number one player in the world, and now you can't find a fairway.
It's really a bad place.
Not the best.
I'm in a dark place.
Did you have a game today?
No, I didn't. I'm not playing for a while. I need to escape.
Oh, you're taking a break.
I'm taking a
break. Wow,
that's even worse. We got to get into this.
I'm
taking a break.
Wow.
Okay? Not the best. All right.
The best.
Hour two coming up. We've got the fifth round still to come. Maybe the fifth round after dark. We got honorable mentions. We got a lot going on.
No, we got to do the fifth round as soon as we come back before we get to Pooley. And then we're doing sixth round after dark.
Okay, I love it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.